All right, folks, welcome back to another edition. As always, we got the big man and Mr. Vince Pavlonis. Boys, how we doing?
Man, it's a struggle bus city on this Friday, I'll tell you. Katie's got the house at like 70, falling asleep in there. I had to move out here to the garage. It was had to wake myself up for you boys. So,
big dog sweating balls in the house, huh?
Me and Nolan both passing out. Couldn't take it anymore.
Vince, how we doing?
I'm just fired up. Just got back. The kids had their floor hockey. It was a barn burner, 7-5. So yeah, just ready to get it with you guys here. But like the over under in these games is like at least at like 10 or 12 anyway. So
really,
yeah, like it's like scrappy and chippy out there. There was one kid, the other goalie, like he like made like not a great save at all, but he started doing like the L dance. And like the three kids that I bring, like Jax, Carter, and Skid Ryan, like they were not having it. Like they were mad, and they got a little chippy out there, and they were more interested in like tossing some guys around than like going after the puck, which I was fine about. I was like in the car ride home, I'm like, you know, don't be a fool and like do that L thing. Like I'm glad you guys, because like the rest of our team is like first and second graders. And it's the team had like third, fourth, and fifth graders. And it's Jax and Carter in fourth. Ryan is in fifth. And I'm like, you guys like did the right way. You were tough, but you weren't like a bunch of turds. So
yeah. At what age do they start dropping the gloves?
Well, no, this is just like floor hockey for our scouts. Scout floor hockey.
Yeah, that was ice hockey.
No. It is in the, if you're familiar with where like Jefferson Middle School is in Woodridge, across the street is a medical building that we have like souped up the basement for floor hockey. We got some like cardboard things for the boards on the sides. And it gets a little chippy down there. You know, the kids learned, be some pretty tough athletes down there. And, you know, we may have some Russian imports coming in for the next time we face those guys, though.
In general, though, like, is it high school or is it before that?
No, this is.
No, he's saying when they drop the gloves. I don't know. That's a good question.
I think so. Like, I think like all the way through high school, like you really can't drop the gloves.
I had practice at Seven Bridges Ice Arena tonight, and they must have had like. Two tournaments going on at the same time on both rings. Mm-hmm. These boys were pretty big too, it looked like. I think they try to stop all that stuff now with high school and below, you know.
Because I think like definitely like below high school, like if there were something like that, like the team and the family gets fined. I know in like soccer, if you were to get like a red card, your club gets a fee and the kid's parents get a fee as well. So I feel like they're trying to like curtail those things, because I mean just think about it, like when you were 15, 16 years old, like, you know, a lot of guys are just like hotheads, and the smallest thing could like tee you off, and it'd just be nonstop fighting out there.
I mean look, at it's not like it's Dio Cell back in the day where they got kicked out of the Catholic League for hockey,
right? Yeah,
fighting, and then right, they got brought back in when we were there. So, you know,
well, hockey is also a totally different sport. Like people who raise their kids to play hockey, like they're a different breed.
Mm-hmm.
Like sure, yeah, they're different. Like that's a different family skill set. You know what I mean? And I feel like those kids have been fighting since they were like 10.
Yeah, right.
So I wouldn't listen. I figure there's at least like a couple 12U, 13U teams out there that are straight up brawling.
Can you guys smell this? Shelly just brought me in a cookie. I mean, look at this thing.
Is it cooked?
You're an angel.
Is that thing cooked?
That thing's straight out of the oven.
Mmm. It's warm. No, dang. Good job.
Where's,
if you want to bring me another one.
Where's the milk?
Oh, man.
No milk?
That is really good. I mean, I don't want to press my luck a little bit here, but.
Well, she's going to be in bed by the time you say,
Sure. Yeah. And then I have about five or six of these things.
All right, gents. Let's get into some golf here. We have a hell of an episode ahead of us. Let's recap the American Express. Obviously, we had history, 33 years of it. Nick Dunlap, an amateur, coming in and winning. What was it? He was leading after day two, correct?
Yes, I believe so.
Yeah, I think that's right. Held on to the lead, fought it off, coming down 19 or 18, sorry, and with a one-stroke lead. Didn't know where he was at, held on. What'd you guys think of the American Express?
I thought Burns gave it away. I mean, it was awesome to see Dunlop win for sure. That was great. The interview was great. His parent, watching his parents, that always tugs at the heartstrings. That was really cool to see his mom freak out and stuff like that. But no, it was great golf. And that up and down on 18 was fucking, that was just cold, man. He was, that's awesome. Nerves of steel right there. But it's great to see. It's even better that the stuff he gets, the 2-year exemption in the majors, well, 3 of the majors, right? And then he's in the rest of the field for, because he just declared, right? So, no, I'm happy for him. It was great. But, yeah, Burns, I thought for sure he gave that away with, what was it, on 16 or 17 when he went in the water?
16?
16.
Yeah. Now, I feel like, yes, Burns did, like, lose his chance at winning. But, like, Dunlop went out there, like, he won that thing. Like, being a kid, just, like, nerves of steel, you know, with being an amateur, like all the stories that come along with it, like he went out there, like he showed that he won that golf tournament. And it's just cool to see, you know, in what other sport you have, like amateurs just going out there and winning. And right, that's another reason why betting golf is so difficult. Like, I don't even think you could bet on him since he is an amateur, but like anyone can get hot. And right, who knows if this guy goes on to, like, you know, challenge Jack Nicklaus' record, or if we never hear from him again. But just an awesome story. You know, I don't like the fact that he went to Alabama for school, but like besides that, I was loving it. I was pulling for him.
I mean,
we're amateur golfers.
Yeah, I mean, he had that double bogey on the front nine too, and it didn't. Yep. He bounced right back from it. The other thing I thought was crazy is, like, I get it, he doesn't get the money, but like second place gets first place prize. I mean, that's got to be a good day. You know, would he get like $1.5 million or something like that? So,
yeah,
that was just.
I actually was about to mention that. So, what do you guys think? I saw this on Twitter. What do you think about who is it that finished the second place? The guy starts, his last name starts with a B.
Christian Bezazenhout.
Yes.
And so, I didn't know he has never won before. I thought he had won on the PGA Tour. He's a really good player. Yeah. One of those South Africans. I know that I really like listening to Mark Immelman. Yep. He's a brother of Trevor, who like won the Masters, like an announcer and everything. And he has like super high praises for him. But I just assume maybe that he had won at some point. He's up there a lot of these like early in the year events, stuff like that. But
he's the one that drank poison as a kid too, right? So he's like his whole nervous system is messed up and everything like that. He's lucky to be alive, basically. Yeah.
Wow.
I'm pretty sure that's him.
So. Yeah. So where I was going with this before we got derailed was, what do you think is going to happen? Do you think his caddy sees 10% of that?
Yeah, for sure.
Right.
You got to be real dickhead if that's your caddy for a while.
But you know what I'm saying? Like, he didn't finish first, but obviously he won first in prize money. But anyways,
right.
I'm sure like Matt Kuchar would have been like, oh, here.
But,
we're going to get gonna be like an American Express card, and we'll call it a day.
I think Dunlap's going to be a stud, man. I mean, he won, what, the Junior Am, the Am. I think first player to do that since Tiger, maybe. Guy, he's on a path to just be a complete stud. So I think it's pretty cool to see. Obviously, Rob mentioned coming down 18, stones. I mean, he did win that tournament. I mean, is Sam Burns, as Vince alluded to, like 16, not a very difficult shot for the pros. I mean, he just missed the green. And that's, you know, part of the design behind that hole is it's right in front of you. Go get it. And Dunlop did. And then he finished, you know, 17, 18. So, I mean, congrats to him. I mean, the tournament was there for Burns to kind of put fear into this kid's eyes. And it kind of went the other way. And Dunlop came out, you know, on top. So hell of a tournament. Like I said,
I mean, if it were you guys, sorry, I can't talk right now, but like obviously you turned pro, right? would you would turn pro right away? Would you give it a few days? What would you have done?
I think I would have went kind of the route he did. Withdraw from the farmers, take a couple days, talk to my parents, but eventually go pro like within that week.
Gotcha.
I mean, what? Why would he go back to school? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, I just don't know like his NIL deals or like, you know, once he, his 2 years exemption doesn't start until he turned. Oh, nice hair there, buddy. Doesn't. Wow. Man, if you don't watch YouTube, you better watch it for this episode. So basically, I was getting at like, you know, his 2 year exemption doesn't start until he turns pro. So that was always going to be sitting there for him. But you know, I was just curious what you guys thought about it.
Right. My thing is it's kind of the inevitable. So why, you know, why wait it out, so to speak? I get what you're saying with the NIL, but you know, you might as well just make the jump now. Tell the dean. Tell Roll Tide, see you later. It's time to go pro.
Well, part of this is in my buy or sell, so I'm not going to say like too much. So
ooh, okay.
I won't say all anything right. at all, I guess. All right.
I like where that's going. In other news, we need to jump into maybe the most electric part of any podcast episode, and that's what's new in 2024.
Oh, I thought you were going AK for a minute there.
We could, you want to jump into AK real quick?
Let's I mean, I wanted to lead off with that secretly.
Okay, let's jump into AK because you're not going to like what I'm about to say.
What, you're not happy about it?
I don't get it. I don't get the allure. I don't, here, you go ahead and then I'll follow up unless you'd like me to start.
No, go ahead. Let's hear what your thoughts on it.
Okay. My thought about it is the guy's 12 years removed. He had three wins on the PGA Tour, zero majors. He finished at his highest point, sixth in OWGR. Don't get me wrong. The guy, he was a very, very good young talent. I think he was probably way ahead of his time. If he stayed healthy, what could have been? Yeah, sure. But the guy literally hasn't been. He's been the Loch Ness Monster for 12 years. And all of a sudden, like, people think, you know, the guy's been training and like playing on the side. Like, what are we talking about here? Do we just want closure because of his absence? Or do we really think he can come in and compete? Or is this just a money grab? I think it's more of a money grab. I don't know. I mean, I'd be curious to hear what you guys think about it.
Yeah. I mean, reading, you know, golf Twitter has been awesome the last like 72 hours about it, but like reading all today, it's like, you know, you got a lot of people saying now he's not doing live, so I don't think it's a money grab because obviously with PGA, but I don't know, the reason why I'm excited about it, I feel like it's a time capsule, right? Like, it takes us back to, you know, 12 years ago, a lot younger, loved golf a lot back then, thought he was great, loved him in the Ryder Cup, belt buckles when they were huge. I mean, come on, that was awesome. But go ahead.
So I totally agree with that point. And I'll just say really quick, if golf was still the same 12 years, like if we were still in the same state with like kind of the older heads, but now with the game emerging with all these younger stars, I don't think this guy's got a shot in the world to come back. But to your point, yes, it definitely takes you back. And I think if it was anything like it was 12 years ago, he probably could just walk right back in the door and, you know, put up a couple numbers, but then again, like, what happens if this guy shoots 77, 78, misses the cut, and it's like, you know?
Sure.
You know? Yeah.
I mean, you could say it's a Tiger. I mean, I don't want to compare him to Tiger, but, you know, when Tiger comes back, we always say it's about knocking off the rust, right? I mean, I don't know. You look at Twitter, you see the videos, you don't know if they're old or you're newer about his swing. You don't know if people are talking about, a couple of people are talking about he's firing 62s the last couple of weeks. Who knows? I just think the state of golf, like we're in now, like it's getting better, right? The whole live thing, all that bullshit. But like, this is exciting to me. Like, he could go out and shoot 80-80 and miss the cut, but it's nice. It'd be nice to see him out there playing again, especially with the story, with the insurance and all that stuff. I find it very intriguing. And I think it's, you know, I think it's good for golf, to be honest with you. So,
no doubt.
And when he first came on the scene, you know, like we have our big moments, like the Ryder Cup, like, the guy that maybe people haven't heard of before, when he does well, like he's electric, he's charismatic, like people love that. and they just gravitate to it. And then they continue to watch him as you go forward. He was ahead of his time a little bit. And I liked him even kind of like before that, like Robert said, like watching golf all the time. Like this guy was a little bit different out there. Mm-hmm. And it was fun to watch. And at this point for me, like we all love those, like getting up off the mat, like, you know, stories of Americans who are down on their luck and getting up there and like resurrecting their career. Like I always was hoping that David Duval would do the same thing. And obviously, you know, he did not. I don't know. He may have like finished top five like once or something, but like I was always just pulling for him. And I want to come back and, you know, have the kid do well. Is it likely? Maybe not. But the, like Tom said, there's just so many young golfers out there that you need to be like on top of your game, and being flashy or fancy does not kind of set yourself aside or out in front like it once did when he was, you know, just coming out. So hopefully, I hope he's playing well. He does well, but we'll see.
Definitely. I agree with all those points you guys made. I think people are kind of, you know, jumping on this thing a little bit too quick. Yeah, would I love to see him come back? Sure. But, you know, ultimately, I think, you know, I think it's too late, to be honest. I mean, I just, 12 years removed from competition is a huge deal. Either, and you said he was shooting 60s last week, Rob?
What I was reading today on Twitter is like 62s a couple of times, I guess, or maybe once or twice. Yeah, once or twice, I think in the last week they said. But again, like I said, who knows if those accounts are true or what it is or what it's not. I mean,
right.
Either way.
I mean, for the past 12 years, there's been accounts that are like trying to find and like Sasquatch, like the Abominable Snowman, like they're out there like, oh, this is Anthony Kim, the golf course out
there. I would love to see like how they did like those sports stories like on Manziel and all that stuff on Netflix, like an untold AK story.
For sure. And you kind of said it jokingly, the Robert, but what if he's the one guy that brings the tours together? You
know, right,
and because he, I mean, maybe.
that would be something. AK coming back, fusing the tours.
You know,
that would be legit. Very well could happen. Who knows? But moving on, what we were getting into, Rob, is what's new in 2024. And boy, do we have a couple bombs for you. Let's jump right in. We're going to start off with the membership fee. It is up 50 from 2023. Early registration is open for 2 weeks, and that's $50 off. So essentially, it would be the same as it was last year if you early register. Obviously, we didn't want to price people out, but we needed to raise, you know, the prices in order to cover cost and raise the payouts. That was something we talked about in our surveys going out last year at the end of the year. It seemed like a huge majority was fine with that. Next up, payouts. We're moving to digital Visa gift cards in 2024, just with the expansion of, you know, the other tours. It's just going to make life easier for everybody on both ends, especially for tax purposes. From a business perspective, it's a lot easier for us. Flights. This is a huge one. It's new. D and E flight members now have the option to play from the 55 plus senior tees. Obviously, if somebody decides to play from a set of tees forward of the scheduled event tees, obviously their course handicap will not be the same. So a little example here, you know, let's just say the scheduled event tees are blue, right? I'm getting 10 strokes. The 55 plus tees might be white, and I'm only getting, say, 7 strokes from there. Obviously, I'm losing 3 strokes. So again, they have the option to play the 55 plus senior tees. That's been a huge ask over the last couple of years.
Yeah. So, I mean, we want the guys to have fun. You know, those guys down there that, you know, are out to be more social about it. You know, this is a great way to, you know, make sure they're enjoying their round of golf as well. So.
Correct. We want to maximize the experience on tour, and we totally understand. Sometimes that experience is not the best when you're playing from, you know, 6,600 yards and, you know, maybe you're a shorter guy off the tee. So this is an option. Again, It's not required from D&E flight members. They have the option. And obviously with that option comes a reduced course handicap. So just keep that in mind. Also for the D&E flight members, we're going with the local stroke and distance rule. So again, another example. So we all know stroke and distance off the tee. You need to essentially re-tee from your prior shot. So you'd be re-teeing, hitting three. The local rule for stroke and distance is essentially wherever your ball went out of bounds, you now get to and drop it in the fairway just off the rough where your ball went out, hitting four out of the fairway. And that's the local stroke and distance rule for the D&E flight. So it was implemented to increase pace of play, but also the experience. You know, we don't want guys, you know, feeling defeated after having to re-tee a couple times. So again, this is all based on, you know, the experience for those members in the D&E flights. Next, Slack, we are adding an attester channel, and that's going to be flighted. So there's going to be flighted attester channels. Some guys came to us last year and the year before, actually. And it's a good thought. It's a good change. You know, typically guys want to find other guys of the same caliber to play with. And, you know, by kind of jumping in the different Slack channels, you didn't necessarily know, you know, what handicap that person was that you were about to play with. Not that sometimes people don't care, but there are guys that do. So we are going to flight the attester channel. So there'll be an attester channel for A flight, B flight, so forth and so on. Next, we're moving to the player handbook. The player handbook is going to be a video. We're going to have both. It's going to be, you know, on our website in, you know, written word form, but there's also going to be a video player handbook that we're putting together now. We'll move on to points. So points are kind of to be determined at this point. It's not 100% finalized, but they are changing. They're going to be weighted depending on the different tournaments, and it's going to look more so like a NASCAR point system. And I'll leave it at that just because I don't want to kind of oversell or tell you guys something that's not going to happen. Also with points, they're no longer resetting after the ninth event. You need to play into the playoffs. You also need to play in six minimum events to make the playoffs. I know that's been a big one, especially after last year. I think we could probably call that the McElinden rule. A lot of guys were not happy with our guy, Mr. Mike McElinden, getting into the playoffs, rightfully so. So we made that change. That's going to be a huge one. And I do love this because, again, you need to play into the playoffs. I think we're at a point now where we have enough guys to where that makes sense. Moving on to scheduling, another new one, another big one. The CGT T-sheet that we are normally accustomed to doing, that you guys know about, well, actually, some of you guys know about, new this year. We are no longer going back and forth with the courses on the CGT T-sheet. What we are doing, what the CGT is doing, is we are pre-purchasing the first hour of available tee times for all majors and playoffs for each Saturday and Sunday at each event. So the first event, let's say, is the Masters at Ravislo. That first available hour, that Saturday and Sunday, both weekends of the event, we're scooping those up. We're putting them on our website for you guys to buy. We're not, you know, upcharging you. We're taking it for what we bought it for, and we're handing it over to you guys. We've created a booking site or a booking page on our website where we're going to list all of these tee times. And you could purchase them right there on our website. So essentially, you'll never have to go to the course website for a major or a playoff. If you play on the weekends and you want to play, you know, early, obviously, this is also another great opportunity to play with a new attester or if you're looking to pair up with a group. So again, we'll be pre-purchasing the first available hour of each major and playoff for those Saturdays and Sundays. And then we'll have those up on our website, and you guys will be able to just purchase those right from us. Also, a new one. The Rendezvous is kind of like our VIP section of the CGT. It's for the more avid CGT member. It was, you know, a separate portion of our website last year that had, you know, an additional password to get into. We are offering a season-long match play. It's going to be random draw, double elimination. That's going to be super sick. Again, that's going to be available to anybody that, you know, joins the Rendezvous. And then we also have another massive, massive announcement, because by the time you hear this, it's going to be on Monday. You've probably seen on our socials, we've brought on the Sun Valley Golf Tour with Arizona. We've brought on the Milwaukee Golf Tour in Milwaukee, the Indy Golf Tour in Indianapolis. It only made sense for us to start a parent company that kind of oversees all of these city tours. So that parent company is called the Hybrid Golf Tour. Down the road, hopefully the play here is, you know, by 2026, we hope to be in 15 cities. You know, as of 2024, we'll be in 4. So again, another massive, massive bomb. It's been a pretty busy off season, as you can imagine. But it's been great. We've been learning a ton. Getting the other tours, you know, up and running has been pretty special. It's been, you know, Rob and I will pinch ourselves sometimes and be like, this is insane that this is even going on, but, all good things. Vince, I know you're dying to get a word in. So what are your thoughts?
No, I mean, it's all great. I'm a little concerned about these, digital gift cards. I mean, you'll never learn to write your name in cursive writing if you're just giving out people email things. I mean, maybe you and I just work on, you know, writing your name in cursive, but exciting year. Yeah, as I said a while ago, the golf is right around the corner. You guys kind of shoo-shooed me a little bit. Like, golf is around the corner here. It's all this good news. And the good kid's right again.
Golf is definitely around the corner. The Visa gift cards, 100%. Trust me, I would love to, you know, if I could, I would go back to year one where guys were mailing us envelopes of cash. Trust me, I would love to go back to that. That
I'm going to hang up my third place check in the room behind me here. It's one of a kind now.
Yeah.
You didn't turn it in? You're not old school? You didn't
I usually do, but I kept it for that purpose. I don't want to give away that signature of yours. I mean madness here.
That's a one in a million signature right there.
You better hang that puppy up on the wall.
Put it in the Louvre.
But no, in all seriousness, do you remember that, Rob? Year one? I mean, there were some old school guys that just weren't either on Venmo or...
Did you know, Blue Island to meet a guy up for some cash that one time?
Yes, I met him. I met him at the police station. swear to God, like those are the days. And those, to be honest, those are the days that you got to think about. You know,
humble yourself.
Correct. But yeah, I mean, people were sending registration envelopes here. It was wild. And trust me, times were much easier then. But again, with the business and the books, it makes our life much, much easier at the end of the year, especially, you know, 1099s. It's more, you know, it's less intrusive, blah, blah, blah. Anyways, Visa digital gift cards, it's essentially cash anyways. So, it all works out in the end. I'm sure there's going to be more down the road, but we're going to jump right in to the buy or sell. Gentlemen, what did we like this week? What didn't we like? Big Rob, fire away.
I'm going to buy after watching some awesome football on Sunday. I'm buying Jason Kelce, man, and their New Heights podcast, the Kelce brothers. I don't think I've enjoyed watching a big man celebrate like that. You know, it's good for the boxy guys. It's just a guy having fun. I loved it. But in turn, it made me listen to their podcast this week about it. And dude, their podcast is hilarious. And I mean, it's also awesome because they're telling you the aspect from, you know, what they're seeing from the game, and it's just knowledge and all that shit. But no, I'm buying the New Heights podcast along with like Jason Kelce, because it was that was so entertaining with Twitter and all that stuff the last week about it. It's been great. So
I am buying college sports, And I really liked seeing Dunlap's teammates, you know, getting fired up, watching him make the putt. They're like, golf is an individual sport. Like when you're in college, like it is a team sport. Like you're with those guys. Like part of me is like, you know, does he want one more ride with his buddies? Like those are times you will like never get back. And I always cherish, you know, just the time with my teammates. And it's like, if the dough is going to be there for you in like 6 months and you can still play in some events like before that, like to me, that's a hard thing. And if like the dough may not be there, maybe you got to go and get it right now, then okay. And I always tell like my own kids, is like, we'll see some athletes at their, we've seen some, you know, kids getting in like trouble at school, like they're off the teams or whatever. It's like, here's this good athlete, like a waste of a body, getting themselves in trouble. Like, don't do dumb stuff. Cause hopefully you could have a chance to go on, like play in college, like have an awesome experience. Like, you probably won't go pro, but you'll just have those like awesome bonds with the kids, you know, your teammates, but also like the family members of everything. And like, it's just a great memory that I have. And like, seeing those guys get like jacked up, even though they're from Alabama, like, kind of got goosebumps on my arms.
Very nice. Very nice. I am selling this week. Ooh. And I should have sold this probably 3 weeks ago. I am selling anybody that does dry jam. These guys on what? Dry January.
Oh, dry January.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I'm like dry jam, like dry jam on toast?
No, dry jam. These guys mainly on social media, and I get it. Most of it is for clicks, but some of these guys, it's just like the New Year's New Year's resolution. It's absolutely brutal. Yeah. I mean, what are you going to do in February? You're just going to go right back to the, right back to the horse, back to the well. Like, what's the point?
You'll see some of those, like, I don't know, they are Twitter, you know, posts they have where it's like, you know, dry January today. And it's like the gorillas like running around like the clubhouse or like the building, like going to get more booze. And yeah, I agree with you. You know, even if you make it and then you go back again, like hammered on like January 1st. Okay. Like, you know, no big deal.
I don't get the whole thing. Even, I know we're a kid's show, but No Nut November, don't get it. I mean, what are we doing? I mean, people are just making up stuff these days. Let's jump right in to the top three. Rob, it is your top three this week. What do you got?
All right. So I'm going to butcher this a little bit, but my top three, what are your top three occasions for like a beer or a drink or whatever, or event that you like to drink at, or, you know, first, and you know, just an occasion. What are your top three drinking moments, I guess you would say?
Go ahead there, Vince.
When this came across earlier today, we're like, what in the world do you think? Like, we were both kind of like interpreted. It's like it was King Tut's tomb. So I think I have it ready to go. So after working a Cubs game in the summertime, being in the heat.
Is this your three hole? So lately you've been going one hole and then two hole and then one hole.
Dude,
so
the guy's top three has been abysmal since he came on the show.
So are we talking about the third slot right now? Is this what it is? Your third?
All right. So I guess. So yeah, the three hole.
Okay.
It's going to be, I don't know how a lot of these things work. I'm just, you know, keeping an eye on you two guys, making sure the ship is running well here. But I like, after working Wrigley Field, walking across the street to one of the establishments and having just an ice cold Old Style or a Rolling Rock. And Tom, you would probably know, Robert, we can tell you what it's like. But in the summertime, working hard, when you're sweating, having that ice cold beer is just like so good. And I love an Old Style or a Rolling Rock. Shout out to my roommate, Garth Gilser, got me hooked on the Rolling Rocks. In the two hole, right now, I'm going with like one of our favorite beers that Shelly and I drink. And going back to your like dry January thing, like if you just do things like moderation, like everything is fine. Like you need to just stop. But Gummylicious, Noon Whistle Brewery. It's a nice hazy IPA. I love that one. And my number one hole is a really good memory is when I used to work the front desk, and Robert knows, at Pop Light Golf Course, the old timers would come in and get Killian's Red, a picture of Killian's Red.
Irish Red.
Oh, yep. Yeah. And then when I would play with them during the week, like nothing was more satisfying than me being like, you know, I guess I was 21 years old or whatever I was. But sitting down with these older guys and having like an Irish Red with them. And then they found out that I got like a discount on stuff. Oh, here, you go buy it again. And we'll like pay you later. But that was just so like satisfying. And honorable mention, in college, really the only time they did it, but like an ice cold, either like High Life or Rolling Rock in the shower, you're getting ready to go out for like nighttime. Like that was just with the heat and the steam, that ice cold beer, it was satisfying.
Those shower beers used to hit different. Woo!
Oh,
especially when you didn't have kids. I mean, those shower beers were excellent. Mm. They got you fired up. You were probably already drinking since noon that day, so you kind of kept it going while in the shower. Whoever came out with that, genius. My three hole, I'm going to yard work as well. There's nothing better than, you know, cooking up a sweat during the summertime and then just going to the fridge and getting a nice cold one. Number two, I'm going pool beer or actually like a pool nooner. I'm not really a big beer guy in general. I'm not really a big drinker. Let's get that out of the way. I'm not a big drinker, in general, more so socially. So like it would be a pool nooner or a pool White Claw. Yeah, I know. Gay, whatever. And then my number one is on the golf course, hands down. Give me a Arnold Palmer. Give me some type of vodka lemonade. That's probably my go-to. Nothing more refreshing than, you know, on the golf course, in the cart, sitting back, chilling with the boys. And then my honorable mention, I know this doesn't really conform, but I'd much rather do a gummy or a Stinky J. So that is my top three.
When though? Is there like a specific time occasion for that that just in general?
That's my wind down. Like some people obviously drink wine or have a beer or a glass of whiskey. Again, I'm drinking coffee right now. Like my wind down would be a half a gummy or, you know, potentially taking Teddy for a walk and maybe also having a dog walker, if you know what those are. That's a little Stinky J. And then that's just how I wind down. Helps me go to sleep.
Hey,
all if good. It helps you go to sleep, then yeah, it's
yeah.
Well, it also is kind of most people say, well, it fries the brain. My brain starts ticking when I just get really, I feel like anyways, I get really creative. You know, I tap into Rob's kind of artistry.
I get that for sure.
Good job. I went to Costco last Friday to do our shopping, and I needed some like a multivitamin. and there was one that was on sale, so I just got it. It says multivitamin on there, but they're like gummy. They're like, you know, like the little fruit things, and they are like tasty. So I've had like two or three.
You're a day. Sure, they're not a kid's one.
Yeah, they're multi. Are you talking about multivitamins?
Yeah, multivitamin adult.
Are they a teddy bear? Were they a teddy bear gummy?
No, they're a little.
I'm like, talking about a different type of gummy.
Well, I know what you're talking about, but I'm just saying a good Costco buy. They're on sale right now, $8 off. But I thought it was going to be like a pill.
Hey.
I'm just eating these gummy bears.
Oh, get those Flintstone vitamins.
I was just about to say that.
Good top threes from the both of you. I'll go. Honorable mention was the shower beer. At Eastern, that was the best thing. You go in there and you see either like Dave's Budweiser bottle in there or McKenna's, you know, Natty Ice. But that's always a great one. My three hole fits perfectly with this season we're in, wintertime. The little snowblowing beers in the corner of the lots. Love that. That's a great one. They always stay cold. And it's like you're rewarding yourself at each turn. With the snowblower. So two hole would be sitting on the deck in summer at night with what do you want to call those, Tom? Are they called the Italian lights? Those little
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. With that, with a beer, and a nice cigar, just enjoying the night, listening to some music. That's always a good one. Number one is obviously the golf course and more or less the gazebo, Vince, when we were at Pawpaw.
Definitely.
Nice little drinking back in the day was a little, Tito's and sugar-free Red Bull. Great drink, sitting on that gazebo, watching the boats come in and then getting right back out there and playing some golf. Or for those of you that played Pawpaw before, jumping right back up to the seventh hole and just firing off at that par three with everybody watching it at the gazebo for some money and some drinks, nothing beat that one for sure.
An electric.
Couple quarter-pound hot dogs.
Oh, yeah. Get the little hot dog in there. You know, and then you got the Petersons with the old Gatorade and vodka, thinking that they're cheating the system, right? So it was good.
An electric top three, an electric episode. A lot to digest there. But until next time, actually, next episode, we're going to have a few new guests. We're actually going to have each of the different tour directors. I'm pretty sure everybody can make it, but nonetheless, we're going to have Sun Valley Golf Tour, Milwaukee Golf Tour, and the Indy Golf Tour guys representing each of those tours on next week's podcast. So look forward to that. But until next time, gentlemen, we will see you in the fairway.
See you in the fairway, boys.
See you, boys, in the fairway.
See you in the fairway.